Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want to preach this morning a message entitled Living Thankfully. Now, the verses in our text contain a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the saints of God in Colossae. The contents of this prayer also give us principles by which we may live a thankful life in response to the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. I love the Thanksgiving time every year. In fact, today my family is going to have Thanksgiving early. All my family is coming up from, my sister and her husband are coming from Tennessee. Her daughter is coming from the state of Washington. My aunt and uncle are coming from Cincinnati. My mom and dad are not coming just for health reasons, but I love gathering with family this time of year, and I think we ought to be thankful every day. I'm grateful that the United States is one of the few countries that actually determined to set aside a day where people could give thanks to God Almighty for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. Certainly, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving should be every day, not just in November. But as I read this, I thought, it's not enough for us to merely say that we are thankful with our lips. We have to demonstrate our thankfulness by the way in which we live our lives. If we lived every day consciously making an effort to please God, to thank God for everything that we do, everything that we're blessed with, I believe that would manifest a thankful, grateful heart. I pray that God will deliver us. We're living in a day, an age of superficial religiosity. It's the religion of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they talked a lot. Jesus said, they say, but they do not. In other words, they talk a lot, but they don't practice anything. They don't live it out from their heart to their life. With their lips, they made great boasts of service to God, but their lives didn't prove it. We need to be different than that. If you've been saved, if you've been washed in the blood, if you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if you've read your Bible and you know all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ, every day ought to be one where you live thankfully, where you consciously offer to God thanksgiving for His glory and His honor. Now, we have reasons why we can live thankfully revealed in this prayer. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. You know, it's a good practice to give thanks to God, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What does that mean? He hath made us meet. Well, it means that He has dramatically intervened in our lives, so much so that He has changed us, prepared us for this inheritance in the saint, with the saints in light. In other words, God has so dramatically intervened and changed and prepared us for eternity in this glorious inheritance. That ought to make us thankful every day that God changed our lives. Because none of us were fit candidates for enjoying the inheritance of God's saints, which is the glorified state. Our natures were completely contrary to God. Think about this. He had to change us. He had to make us meet. He had to prepare us to dwell in His presence, because by nature, we were repulsive in His sight. We were completely contrary to God. God is light. We were dwelling in darkness. God is holy. We were filthy. God is love. We were hateful and hating one another. That's just what the Bible says about the natural condition of man. But God, by His amazing grace, made us meet to be partakers of this glorious inheritance. Notice, God made us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He is our shepherd. The Lord is our God. It's He that made us, and not we ourselves. The only reason I'm saved by the grace of God is because of Him. Because of His work in me. We will one day take our place of worship with the saints in light around the throne of God. And He even gives you an explanation of how this miraculous change came about. How did God make us meet? How did He prepare us to be with the saints, for this inheritance of the saints in light throughout all eternity? It tells you right there in verse 13. Who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. God found me in darkness. He didn't leave me there. He translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. This is what happens in the new birth. When He brings us out of death into life, out of darkness into life, out of unrighteousness, and gives us life and the ability to trust Christ to receive His righteousness. God changes us. We all were once under the dominion of sin. We were ignorant of God's righteousness and glory. We were in the captivity of Satan. We were spiritually dead and undone. That's where God found me. And for the longest time, I didn't even know it. I wasn't even aware of it. I thought that... Didn't give much thought at all to God, to His Word. Do you know when Greg Rittenhouse started witnessing to me in January of 1980? I didn't even know what the four Gospels were. I couldn't have named three of the Ten Commandments. I didn't know what the Gospel was. I had gone to church occasionally, but I knew nothing of the true God. I knew nothing of the real Jesus. I had never one time sat under sound biblical gospel preaching. And I was 20 years old. I was in darkness, but I didn't know it. I knew I was a sinner. They didn't have to convince me of that. I knew that. But I never considered the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the point I'm making is, what's true of me is true of everybody that's ever been saved. Now, your life may not have been near as sinful as mine, but you were in darkness nonetheless. You were unrighteous nonetheless. You were estranged from God nonetheless. No matter what your upbringing was, all of sin and come short of the glory of God. When God found us, we were on the broad road that leads to destruction. We were walking in the ways of sin. But praise be unto God, He didn't leave us there. He delivered us from the captivity of the powers of darkness and translated us. You know what it means to be translated, right? That means that you're picked up from one place and brought to another. That's literally what happened to me. Here I was in darkness, in deadness, in captivity, and in my sin, with no way of getting out. And God translated me. And He did the same for you if you're saved. He brought you out of that miry pit. He literally took us off the broad road and put us in the straight and narrow way. He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You see, I followed another ruler before I was saved. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you at the quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin, who in time past walked according to the course of this world, this world system opposed to God, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's not God, that's Satan. And I did. I walked in his ways till he translated me. And I'm here to tell you, it is the single most momentous thing that ever happened to me. And that could ever happen to you. There is nothing more significant than when your eternity is changed. As far as I was concerned, I was going to hell, deservingly so. And He translated me out of darkness into His marvelous light. For me, it was dramatic. It was like night and day. Now, those of you that may have been raised in church, it may not be near as dramatic, but if you're not changed, you're not saved. I don't care how religious you are. If any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God makes a change. He translates you for all eternity. That's regeneration. That's the new birth. And immediately, and you'll see this all through Scripture, anybody who's brought to spiritual life immediately believes the gospel. There's no time lapse. You know, we theologically we have a reasonable, logical order that there has to be life before faith. And that is true. But as soon as you're brought to life, you believe that Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day. You believe the truth of the gospel. That's the whole purpose of bringing you to spiritual life. So that you turn to God from your idols, from your darkness, you turn to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why these regeneration and conversion are so closely related all the way through Scripture. Because it's really an event that is simultaneous. The moment you're born of God is the moment you believe the gospel. In other words, it's you're not born again on, in my case, it was, I got it written in the Bible, November 30th, I think. Let's see here. November 30th, 1980. I wasn't born again that day, and then sometime in December, I believed the gospel. No. The very day God translated me out of darkness and translated me from the dominion of Satan and gave me spiritual light, that's the day that I believed. That's the day that I trusted Christ. And it's right here in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God not only changed our nature and changed our condition, He changed our position. Every one of us here were once unjust, unrighteous, unholy, under the condemnation of the law, and unable to pay our sin debt. People who die in their sins, if you die in your sins, you'll have your sins throughout all eternity. You will spend an eternity in the torments of the lake of fire. That's reality. And you'll never be able to pay the full price. That's why, because you've sinned against an infinite God and rejected the gospel of His Son, you will be damned for all eternity. Only Christ can pay the sin debt in full. When He died on the cross, He paid everything I owed. That's why we sing that song, "All to Him I Owe." Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. What a miraculous transaction happened in the death of Jesus Christ. The only righteous person who has ever lived. Pure, holy, righteous. He took all the unrighteousness of His people upon Himself. He suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And it's through His sacrifice, as evidenced by the Scriptures talking about being redeemed by His blood, that's the sacrifice required by law, by God's law. There must be a substitute. He was the only one qualified to pay the ransom price for all who would believe. And through faith in what Jesus Christ did, every single one of my sins have been forgiven. When He died on the cross, every one of Tom Ross's sins were future. And He knew about every one of them. My sins were placed upon Him. He bore the wrath of God. He bore the equivalent of what I would have earned through wicked works. He paid my price of what I would have suffered in the lake of fire. Isn't it amazing? It's the only religion where God Himself becomes the sacrifice in order to set free all who would believe. Nothing, there is no other religion that can even compare to the love of God in Christ. It's amazing. He forgave us of all of our sins. It's something I never get over this. Unto whom much is forgiven, much is required. I have been forgiven so much. I ought to live every day in that knowledge, in that understanding. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I've been liberated, justified by the work of Jesus Christ, my Lord, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been justified from all things through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, all right, He's made us meet. He translated us out of darkness, made us to realize our condition, brought us to faith in Jesus Christ, and we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So how do we respond? We live thankfully. And Paul, he starts off, if we live thankfully and we've been redeemed and we've been born of God and we've been changed so that our future includes an inheritance with the saints in light, here's how we ought to live, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul is praying that they would regulate themselves according to God's will. When the Lord changes you, your will is not as important as His will. You and I are to follow the example of Jesus Christ who said, not my will, but thine be done. That's the way we're to live. In order for us to do this, we have to be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's what He prays for them. A.W. Pink said, to be without such knowledge is to be like the captain of a ship starting out on a long voyage without a chart or for builders, or to erect a house without architectural design. How are we going to live according to His will? Where do you find the will of God? You got it right there. It's all revealed. You say, oh man, that's 1,400 pages. You've read a lot more than that if you've gone to school. You ought to be reading this every day. You ought to become familiar with God's will as revealed in the Holy Scripture. If you're going to regulate yourself according to God's will, we have to know what it is. And it's revealed in the Bible. And we're to fill up our lives with the knowledge of God's Word. You can't keep the commands of God and regulate yourself to His rule unless you're earnestly seeking to know more of God through His Word. When was the last time you earnestly prayed for God to fill you with the knowledge of His will as you were praying? God, show me from Your Word. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Like I said, you can't live thankfully if you don't know what His will is. And you won't know what His will is unless you go to the book. If I decided, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to take up a new career. I'm going to be a doctor. I've just decided I'm going to be a doctor. And I'm going to start signing my name, Dr. Thomas W. Ross. Somebody, what kind of doctor are you going to be? I'm just a doctor. I can do it all. Well, what if I start getting patients? Like Emily, she's going to medical school. I'm sure she wants to be one of my patients. Doctor, and you can call me Dr. Tom. Dr. Tom, I'm going to need open heart surgery. No worries. I was trained as a meat cutter. Don't worry about it. We'll schedule a time and we'll work it out. Would you come to a doctor that has never studied any medical stuff at all? He just knows how to cut up cows? No way, man. I'm going to go to a doctor that knows what he's doing. Somebody that studied medicine. That makes good sense. If you're a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ, it means that you are to devote yourself to the study of the knowledge of His will. If you want to be successful, I can't just say I'm going to be a doctor and start performing surgeries because I don't know anything. And the amazing thing is, if you're saved, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If you're going to live thankfully, you've got to regulate your life according to God's Word. And in order to regulate our lives according to the will of God, we need godly wisdom, which is the ability to apply our knowledge of the divine will in our everyday lives. Wisdom is not just knowing a bunch of facts about the Bible. It's actually putting them into practice. It's acting upon what you know. And this is a prayer that Paul is praying for these people who have been changed, who've been redeemed, who are going to heaven. He's praying that they understand their life goal ought to be to have a knowledge of God's will and that they might be filled with His wisdom. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Psalm 119, verse 34. You're to regulate your life according to the Word of God and even go beyond that and actually practice its contents. This is what is hurting modern day Christianity. People who say that they're saved and yet don't live their lives according to God's Word and according to what's been revealed in the Word of God. And it's gotten so bad that you've got a guy like the Democratic candidate Pete Buttigieg, who has completely dismissed everything the Bible says about literal salvation, about creation, and come out and say, he says, I'm a Christian, but everybody else has it wrong. God was speaking in code. I can tell you what it is. And people buy it because they're not studying their Bible. They don't read their Bible. And I'm not picking on him. The fact of the matter is, most politicians have no knowledge of God whatsoever. And if they were to say something that even resembled what Jesus said when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by Me, and come out and boldly state, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. There aren't many ways to God. There's only one way. Jesus Himself said so. They would be ripped to shreds, man. And they'd come out the next day and make their apology, put out their Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the other things. I'm so sorry if I've offended the world. The gospel offends the world. You don't have to do anything special. You just declare, I'm going to follow what God's Word says. No matter what. I'm going to apply it. Many people can tell you facts about the Bible, but they don't spiritually understand how to implement truth into their daily lives. We must practice the truth and respond to God's will in our daily walk. Doesn't it aggravate you when your children know what you want them to do, but they don't respond to your desires? Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure it's never happened with the Pratt girls. They're like Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. So I can't preach about them right now. But I can go from my own personal experience. I mean, I've come home before where my boys were in their room and it was just, everything was scattered everywhere. And they're in there playing ball and army and everything. Get this room straightened up!
Okay, Dad.
It better be done by the time I get back.
When are you coming back?
That's for me to know and you to find out. Get with it! They might shuffle something around in front of me. I come back an hour later and they're throwing planes and balls and everything's still a mess. Oh, it used to aggravate me. Still does. Something I never have got over.
But I think about the way we are with the Lord. We're His children.
When He says, walk this way, it grieves His heart when we don't. and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Paul prays that they might walk worthy of the Lord. Every day remembering who we represent, who our Father is, who our Redeemer is. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We ought to live in our daily walk according to God's Word, striving to please the Lord in everything that we do. That's part of His prayer. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds should be governed by God's glory. Therefore, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, let all be done to the glory of God. We're to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. We are to pray for growth in knowledge and rely on God. This is part of living thankfully. It's all set forth right here. Gaining a knowledge of His will, being filled with His wisdom, walking in a way where we desire to please Him and walk worthy of Him and bring forth spiritual fruit unto Him. That is the change. We're His disciples. We're His followers. We're His sheep. We're His children. And we ought to live like it. Like we've been changed. May God help us. Not just to say we're thankful with our lips and our words, but to live like we're thankful each and every day of our lives. Let's all stand. Page number 88.